Well, hello everybody. We are back to debrief the most recent Secretariat call, which I have on this other screen. It was medical school structure and governance variability. Why and how does it matter to you and to the LCME? All right, team, what do we want to talk about? Medical school structure and governance variability.
Well, the big topic, I think the central figure in the discussion was about the dean's role within a medical school and how it has shifted over the last several really decades. And even I think probably just in the last 5 to 10 years, they did share some data about the different types of roles or dual roles that deans are sharing, the number of turnover there really has been in the last 5 to 6 years, which was significantly more, I think, maybe than many of us on the call expected. Also talked about how there's been a 20% increase in the number of new MD LCME accredited medical schools in the last decade or so, which is again a huge breadth of work. So a lot more deans coming on board, and really I think ensuring that everybody has a good idea and understanding of what the dean's role is.
No, it is really interesting because even I've been a dean now for 8 years, which is kind of crazy. And even from in the 8 years that I've been in this role, I have a you know, every dean's role is a little bit unique, but mine is a little bit unique. But there's even more of my type of dean than there was like when I started because I'm only really over one of the missions. I'm not over all three of the missions. And that's kind of how our school is built. There's a VP or a dean for each kind of mission that reports up to the president. So it's a very unique structure. So, but I still am the chief academic officer responsible for the medical school.
So,
Even
what's your role over the faculty when they have responsibility to the three missions?
yeah. So ultimately, honestly, that would go up to the president and not to me. However, in our particular system, I work very closely and we meet literally, we have a meeting every single week for 2.5 hours with the president and then the VP of clinical and the VP of research and me there as the dean, so that those issues get talked about. We literally just talked about it very recently about what happens with a group practice plan and the incentive, and they are being incentivized around their clinical productivity, but then they want to take a leadership role as a clerkship director or whatever, in student affairs. And so if they don't get a bonus anymore, how does that work, right? So we literally had a conversation about that conflict and making plans to address that. So and then it does fall on me as my responsibility to kind of follow up from that meeting and start meeting with everybody and putting together a plan that ultimately the president would approve. So and I think a lot of places are really getting very matrixed in reporting structures and things like that.
Yeah, I've definitely seen that in my own experience as well. And obviously, you being the dean over the educational mission means you're the dean over everything LCME really truly cares about the most. Which honestly, in working with other schools and having worked at other schools, it's not a bad way to do it, because there is so much that needs to be really, minding the shop in that respect.
No, there is. And I think depending on how the structure is set up, like I guess I feel very lucky. I don't know how, I know how a lot of other schools are set up, but obviously not all the schools, because I have roles with each of our affiliates. So again, even though I'm not over the clinical, I have a role in each of the affiliates that we have regular meetings where I co-chair those meetings. And so I think it's really important for the chief academic officer, even if they're not in control of the clinical mission, to still have a relationship with the key clinical affiliate so that they can talk to them about space or about, IT in the affiliate or whatever the case may be.
Learning environment.
Learning environment. Yes, exactly. Yep. I think, Lisa, that's a really good point. We literally just had a meeting today with one of our affiliates where we shared the learning environment with them, right? And what the latest results are and everything like that. And I think I've seen too many schools where the affiliates are not getting that information. And so I guess I would say is that, if you're watching and you're even the dean of curriculum or whatever role is to be talking to your person that's above you about how are the affiliates getting this information? And it was actually our dean of curriculum that presented that information. And so, and that's actually, I think, great because it's a great way for those roles to get some exposure in leadership and meet the people at the affiliates that are helping run things. And so I think that's really important.
And then does that all report back to like the curriculum board is informed of the discussions that you all have for documentation purposes? Just thinking of again, right, the central management, yeah. Everything, where is it all documented?
Yeah. So that's actually a really good point. I don't think that, so to be honest, like at least in our place, I don't think the curriculum committee documents that the minutes of that meeting. We have minutes from that meeting. So we have minutes from those meetings that can be referred to. I think what our curriculum committee documents is that the learning environment was discussed at, and then all the places it was discussed, yep. At, right? Yep. Like, so in that way, I guess, yes, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think those are the important things. And I think we've all felt it, we've experienced in our own or any schools that we've helped with. You know, it's a lot of, oh my gosh, we probably were doing that in some capacity, but we have no way to prove it, or we weren't doing it consistently. And then you rush to do it right before your site visit. But getting folks into a routine of doing it is so important, to make it kind of second nature, that when you get that data, you already know what you're going to do with it and who you're going to share it with.
Right. You know, it talks about, you know, governance variability, and there was a question that was submitted about policies and who approves policies and things like that. Lisa, would you like to talk a little bit about that question and what you meant by that and what the findings?
Well, I wanted to be clear about whose role it is to approve policies. Mm-hmm. So curriculum policies, it's pretty straightforward, you know, duty hours and those. Are approved by the curriculum committee, but what about those policies that it isn't so obvious, like the diversity policy, policies that cross more areas than just the curriculum? So recruiting students really isn't a curricular responsibility. And then admissions committee, who would sign off on that, approve that policy. So I thought it was interesting that, yes, it's okay to have an executive committee of a dean to approve those policies. But one of the important things that I heard in the meeting or the webinar was that they need faculty governance as well in the committee. And so, and not only that, there it needs to be outlined in the bylaws. So if there is a committee structure like a dean's executive committee, that dean's executive committee structure needs to be outlined in the bylaws of the school. So I'm not sure, you know, a lot of schools are doing that.
Well, and then you were saying, and then it needs to have like a one or two faculty reps on that committee is what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I think that, yeah.
I was just going to say that my previous school, we did have the rep of the faculty governance committee on that dean's executive committee. So I feel like we met the true intent of this element, but I'm not sure all schools are aware of that.
And what I think is really interesting, you know, I've seen that's kind of one end of the spectrum, that there's a dean's committee that is approving all non-curricular, to where the other extreme, where it's a true faculty council, like whatever schools call it, faculty senate, faculty council, faculty whatever, approving policies, which I also think is a little too much as well, to be honest. Like I think it really needs to be an executive group that does kind of approve with input of faculty, but which is different than having a faculty body make decisions, really important decisions about policies.
Well, I think that's why they changed the wording in element 4.6 to dean's executive committee and faculty,
mm-hmm.
to cover that now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do think that's been a place, and I definitely have had that experience too, of like, we'll call it faculty at large or the faculty elected members, folks who, you know, there's positions open that it's not related to your job title. It's not like an ex officio kind of position, really ensuring that faculty are represented. We know that, you know, a senior associate dean or an assistant dean or whoever likely also has a faculty position, but they're on that committee as their title, not their faculty role necessarily.
Right. No, I think that's really important to say. Yep. Yep. So, and I guess I've never experienced this, but I think at some schools, it certainly seems like there's a lot of angst that the faculty committee wants to have, I'm just going to say it, like more power. And I don't quite understand that. If it was a vacation policy, I get why they might want to have some power over that, like, okay, or like their benefits. But when it's about, you know, other things that aren't quite as critical, I guess I don't understand that as much.
Yeah. But I think it's to Lisa's point of you have to be very clear what the charge of those committees are in the bylaws.
Yeah.
Because I have heard from colleagues who that has come up, that they were concerned that the faculty would just say, overturn the curriculum committee's decision to have some new curriculum or these major curriculum reform and changes. I think that's where you have to be very careful of how your bylaws are written and who actually has the authority, which is why the LCME specifically says that in one of the eights, because I don't remember which one it is off the top of my head,
right.
You know, that the curriculum committee has the ultimate authority over the curriculum, because it has to have some kind of insurance that you couldn't just have a kind of coup of the faculty come in and overthrow all that work.
Right, right. No, 100%. Yep. Yep. Anything else from that? It didn't seem like there was a lot of, I don't know, gotchas or like, you know, hidden curriculum here. It's just that the dean has ultimate authority, even though the dean, you know, has a ton of people working for them who are actually in the weeds, actually doing the work. But when something hits the fan, then it is their job to come in and you know, make sure that they take care of things. And I guess the only other thing I'll say is I could see like, they were showing dual roles. So in a situation where the dean is not like me or not the head of the clinical practice or whatever, like, so what, you know, what authority do they have? And so I do think that that is important to be able to point out. Yeah, for sure. How can they make sure the med school is taken care of? So, well, this one was an easy one. Not a lot of, you know, nothing to get too riled up about. It's kind of disappointing some ways. But yeah,
I was waiting for some kind of like little nugget. But...
I know. Yeah. Right. Yeah. No. But well, I guess that's it. How about that letter that the LCME wrote in response to the, who was it? Okay, we shouldn't talk about it. But who did they write that letter in response to? I forget about diversity. Was it some?
It was some congressional.
Yeah, some congressional
committee.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to go there?
I should not. I should not go there except to just say I called it on what the response would be. That's just what I'm going to say. I called it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of no.
Yes. Yeah.
We don't do that.
No.
Okay.
It's up to the schools. Totally up to the schools.
Because that makes it so much easier for us to all be able to meet that. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. We should have cut off about 3 minutes ago. Okay. All right. But as Lisa knows, I'm not going to edit it. Okay. All right. Okay. All right, team. We will see you next month. There is one next month, right?
I believe so.
Okay. All right.
And if there isn't, I'm sure we'll come up with something.
We'll come up with something. Something indeed. Yes.
Yay.
All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.